My brothers and I wish to welcome you to the house of the Lord this beautiful Sabbath day, especially today, because we partake of the sacrament in remembrance of the sacrifice that our Lord and Savior made in our behalf, that we might be able to return to Him. If we think about the events that have happened in the world this last several months, but especially in this nation, where the far left and the far right seem to argue and fight and carry on, this last week has been like a blessing. If you've watched the news, any at all, the events that have happened in Texas and Houston and Louisiana, that our people can come together. Some of the things we have seen take place. One station I was listening to locally talked about a man in Blue Springs who took the week off from his business, and he left last weekend, and he had a big military vehicle that could go in 6 feet of water and drive. And he took off for a week and has driven it down there to assist. That's amazing. And the many others that have sacrificed across this nation to help out their brothers and sisters. And a lot of these are not our members of our faith and our belief, but they still believe in helping their brother. I would hope and pray that that would be a light unto each of us of the gifts and blessings that can be ours if we serve and follow our Lord. For our scripture reading, I would like to read from Alma, the first chapter. It's the scripture verse. Part of it is on your bulletin that our pastor has picked out. But I would like to start reading a little before that, because as I read this, it made me think about the things that have happened the last several months and the way that people react and act to each other. Now, this scripture is talking about in the church, which makes it even worse. But I would like to start with verse 31 and listen to these events and see if they don't sound familiar. Now there was a strict law among the people of the church, that there should not any man belonging to the church arise and persecute those that did not belong to the church, and that there should be no persecution among themselves. Nevertheless, there were many among them who began to be proud and began to contend warmly with their adversaries, even unto blows. Yea, they would smite one another with their fists. We've been taught we're supposed to control ourselves, aren't we? Now, this was the second year of the reign of Alma. That's about 90 years before our Lord and Savior. And it was a cause of much affliction to the church. Yea, it was the cause of much trial with the church. For the heart of many were hardened, and their names were blotted out, that they were remembered no more among the people of God. And also many withdrew themselves from among them. Now this was a great trial to those that did stand fast in the faith, Nevertheless, they were steadfast and immovable in keeping the commandments of God. And they bore with patience the persecution which was heaped upon them. Brothers and sisters, that is our calling. Before we stand to sing the hymn, I would like you to turn to hymn 41 for a minute and follow me. We sing this hymn quite often, but there's one little part I want to make special note of when we get down to it. But pay close attention to these words. In God's most holy presence, we meet with one accord to grasp the hand of friendship and learn of Christ our Lord. We leave the week behind us with all its toil and strain, with grateful hearts to welcome the Sabbath once again. Our worship will be fruitless and all our prayers be vain if holding this day sacred, we make the week profane. In every daily duty, high purpose we must show, and as we hope for heaven, make earth a heaven below. If we but love thee truly, our love is not confined to thee, but grows expansive, embracing all mankind. Help us in mutual service for all abroad at home. And we've just witnessed that quite a bit this last week. And the last verse I'm going to talk about for a little bit. To share the conquering. And I stopped right there, because the last few times as a congregation we've sang this hymn, when I get to that verse, I get quiet. And I listen to some of us. And we get to singing along there, and I don't think we pay attention to the words. Because I hear several people singing, to share the conquering travel. We're not traveling anywhere in this song. That word is travail, if you look at it. And if you look that word up in the dictionary, Webster's, it tells you to toil or labor. It'll tell you hard or agonizing labor. It will tell you physical agony. And the one I like best of all defines it as anguish or distress encountered in achievement. Now I'm going to read that again. Instead of using that word, I'm going to use this definition. To share the conquering anguish or distress encountered in achievement that makes the kingdom come. That is our calling and our responsibility, that we work together to bring about that kingdom. Thank you.
Our Father who art in heaven, we truly approach that throne with thanksgiving in the name of your Son and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Father, we are so thankful for this beautiful day that you provided for us to gather in this sanctuary to worship you and to remember that special gift that you have given us in your Son. Father, as we each one have come, making that preparation to be cleansed in this hour, Father, I would ask once again that you might forgive us each one of those sins and trespasses that we have committed against thee, for our slothfulness in not rendering that which is our reasonable service to thee and to thy children. Father, I would ask for your Holy Spirit to be among us, that we might be edified in that oneness of heart and mind, standing strong, united in that cause of the kingdom building. Father, I would ask for your favor this day, that your children might be blessed as they reach out for that broken body and spilt blood of your Savior, of our Savior, your Son, that each one might feel thy holy presence in their life, and that we might be the better people tomorrow and today and forever. In Jesus' most holy name, I pray it. Amen.
It was at that day in the years of creation. It's hard to mention days and years, but time wasn't a part of the duty of anyone back then. But anyway, early on that day of creation, the Lord wanted to give unto all the souls of humans, both men and women, both male and female. He had created all the spirits that he was going to create. And he called them together to bless them, to grant them their commission in life. And it's interesting, it has in a sense two parts. One part is that we are to be concerned, and the foremost part is we are to be concerned about nurturing and caring for all things living. And we hope we're to participate in that. And why? He was giving us a right to inherit his kingdom. Because this is his kingdom, and it's what he loved to do better than anything else. But the second thing is what I'm getting to this morning. He gave us some kind of a stewardship challenge that goes along with this need to be concerned about the welfare and the care and the righteous objective of all the living children. But he told us we are to subdue the earth. And we are to have dominion over all of those lower forms of life that are found upon here. Now folks, this is kind of a stewardship that we need to recognize as ours. And on the first Sunday, we especially take a an offering and designate it for certain purposes. But it's only one event in the stewardship of being able to accomplish what God wants us to accomplish. Oh, you say, we don't know how to subdue the earth. Well, we don't. But he's challenging us to learn and to be faithful sufficiently to him that he can permit us to know that knowledge. When Christ came upon the earth for that short few years in a mortal body, he demonstrated how to subdue the waves of the ocean to bring calm, didn't he? It can be done. Excuse me. And Enoch was also one in mortal creation. He was able to do that, to demonstrate how the earth could be changed to satisfy the objective of saving all mankind. But we have a stewardship, folks, and we've only learned the smallest part of it so far. And I don't know how Enoch learned it so quick, or maybe it was not so quick, but I'm convinced that he learned it because he was so completely obedient to everything that God had given him. And so he began to move and to exercise this power and this duty of subduing the earth for a purpose. So I just wanted to remind each one of us, our duty is great, our challenge is great, and we need to give attention to it. I look forward to the day, believe me, when someone is able to do that. And I know it will be when Zion comes. But I look forward to seeing that done again. O God, we pray to Thee because we know that You provide all things that are needful in our life. You provide that which sustains our mortal needs in life, but You also provide all the things we need to bring us back into the highest level of life, and that's life with You in Your kingdom. And oh God, we thank Thee that You, in the way You've created us, in the way that You've given us wisdom, in the challenge that You give us to rise to, so that we can join fully in building Your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I hope that you were paying attention to that, how great thou art. We should be saying that to our Heavenly Father constantly. If you've looked at your bulletin, you'll see Mike Moore is supposed to be here, and I'm not Mike. Mike's been up all night sick. And when he called, he was apologizing like crazy. He says, I keep thinking I'm going to get better. And I told him not to worry. I'd cover for him this time. But he told me. So then I started thinking about the scriptures and what to bring. And I like the fact that this year our pastor has decided on Alma. That's why I read a little more than just that verse that he had asked for in our bulletin this day. And I would challenge you that through this year, that when he puts these verses down and you see them, that you go home and you study the verses before it and the verses after it. There's no way a pastor can put it all in. He has to pick one main key verse. But you need to know the history up to it and what the promises are after that. But I'm going to go to the third book of Nephi for my message. And why the third book of Nephi? Because we know that is when our Savior came to the Americas. I'm going to start a little before that in chapter 3, and I'm just going to read little excerpts that goes along. There's no way we can cover 8 chapters here this quick this morning. But in chapter 3, verse 5, it says, and they began again to prosper and to wax great. In the 26th and 7th years passed away. Now that's the 26th and 27th year after our Lord and Savior was born now. And there was great order in the land, and they had formed their laws according to the equity and justice. And now there was nothing in all the land to hinder the people from prospering continually. See the promise we have if we obey our Father? Except they should fall into transgressions. Jump on over a few verses. And it came to pass that in the 29th year, there began to be some disputations among the people. How often through the scriptures do we see this happening? Both in biblical times, Book of Mormon times, and even in latter day times. And some were lifted up unto pride and boasting because of their exceeding great riches. Yea, given even unto great persecution. For there were many merchants in the land, and also many lawyers, and many officers. And the people began to be distinguished by ranks according to their riches, and their chances of learning. Yea, some were ignorant because of their poverty, and others did receive great learning because of their riches. Some were lifted up in pride, and others were exceedingly humble, kind of the way we should be. And some did return railing for railing. And we know what that means. In other words, if someone offends you, you're going to make sure you offend them back. While others would receive railing and persecution and all manner of afflictions and would not turn and revile again, but were humble and penitent before God. And thus there came a great iniquity in all the land, insomuch that the church began to be broken up. Yea, insomuch that in the 30th year the church was broken up in all the land. save it were a few among the Lamanites who were converted unto the true faith. And they would not depart from it, for they were firm and steadfast and immovable, willing with all diligence to keep the commandments of the Lord. Now the cause of this iniquity of the people was this. Satan had great power, and to the stirring up of the people to do all manner of iniquity, and to the putting, or to the puffing them up with riches and pride, tempting them to seek the power and authority and riches in the vain things of the world. And thus Satan did lead away the hearts of the people to do all manner of iniquity. Therefore they had not enjoyed peace but a few years. Isn't that the way our society is going today? We have short spurts of peace and everything. Verse 20. Now they did not sin ignorantly, for they knew the will of God concerning them, for it had been taught unto them. Therefore they did willfully rebel against God. Now we have to look into each one of our souls, but I can look back and know there's times that I will willfully have not done the things I was supposed to do. And on down. And there began to be men inspired from heaven and sent forth, standing among the people in all the land, preaching and testifying boldly of the sins and iniquities of the people. And if we think about it, we know we all have sins in our lives. I haven't noticed anyone from our branch being translated lately. And I sure know I haven't been. Jump up a little. I'm going to go to chapter 4. I'm going to start with verse 44 in chapter 4. Behold, now you got to remember at this point, Christ has been crucified in the old world and is risen from the dead. And his broken body and spilt blood is what we come here for today. But he's now speaking in the new world. Behold, I am Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and I created the heavens and the earth, and all things that are in them are. I was with the Father from the beginning. I am in the Father, and the Father in me. And in me hath the Father glorified his name. I came unto my own, and my own received me not. And the scriptures concerning my coming are fulfilled. And I say I'm skipping a lot because there's no way we can go through all this. I'm going to jump over to the 7th chapter and start with verse 7. Behold, I do not destroy the prophets. For as many as have not been fulfilled in me, verily I say unto you, shall all be fulfilled. And we know there are many prophecies about the last day that haven't come yet. But they will. And we will have to answer for them. And because I said unto you that old things hath passed away, I do not destroy that which hath been spoken concerning things which are to come. For behold, the covenant which I have made with my people is not all fulfilled. But the law which was given unto Moses hath an end in me. Behold, I am the law and the light. Look unto me and endure to the end, and ye shall live. For unto him that endureth to the end will I give eternal life. Behold, I have given unto you the commandments. Therefore, keep my commandments. And if we go up to chapter 8, and if you start, I'm not going to read all these, but if you look starting at the 28th verse down through here, we realize that this is where our Lord has already appointed his disciples, and he is setting up the sacrament service that we are going to be partaking of here in just a second. And we come this day in remembrance of that broken body and spilt blood of our Lord and Savior. Remember when he was in the old world, the Pharisees and Sadducees were always trying to trick him, and he was talking to the multitude, and they were asking about his taxes and paying taxes, if you remember the story. And he asked the people, or asked, whose picture was on the penny. And they said, Caesar. And what was his words? Render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. Well, I would ask you this day, whose picture is on your heart and your mind? We know Joseph Smith in his day had the privilege of seeing not only the Heavenly Father, but our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Some of us have not had that privilege yet. But if we studied the way we should still have a picture of our Savior on our heart and mind. So I would ask you, from here forward, are we going to render unto our Savior what is his? It's our choice. He is never taking that agency away from us. He leaves it in our hands. As I said earlier, we know in today a lot of people constantly look to the far left and want to follow what's being said, or the far right. And I'm saying we should look up at our Lord and Savior and follow him. And we come this day in remembrance of that. But we also come to remember that vow, or that covenant, that promise that we made at the water's edge to follow him. And it is for this very reason that we are close communionists. And if there are any out there that are not members, we welcome you. As the one scripture said, we're not wanting to shun you or run you away. And I would challenge you that if you have any questions about our faith and what we believe, that you could ask our pastor Joe or ask any of my other brethren that is up here. And we would be more than happy to talk with you about our faith and our beliefs. But for those of us that are members, may we truly remember our Lord and Savior and that covenant that we made this day. As our brother, Elder Steve Willie, reads the prayer of blessing on the bread, may we kneel as near as possible facing the altar.
O God, the Eternal Father, we ask Thee in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this bread to the souls of all those who partake of it, that they may eat in remembrance of the body of Thy Son, and witness unto Thee, O God, the Eternal Father, that they are willing to take upon them the name of Thy Son, and always remember Him, and keep His commandments which He has given them, that they may always have His Spirit to be with them. Amen.
Thank you.
As our brother, Elder Bob Gilbert, reads the prayer of blessing on the wine, may we again kneel.
O God, the Eternal Father, we ask Thee in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this wine to the souls of all those who drink of it, that they may do it in remembrance of the blood of Thy Son, which was shed for them, that they may witness unto Thee, O God, the Eternal Father, that they do always remember Him, that they may have His Spirit to be with them. Amen.
Thank you. I searched this morning for a scripture that I knew existed and that would express the what I felt the Lord had placed on my heart. And I searched and I searched and I searched, and I couldn't find that scripture anywhere. And I said, well, if it's the Lord's will for me to share that, then He will provide, and I simply left it in His hands. And I realized this morning that the scripture that I was searching for was actually not a scripture, but the words of a hymn. And my brother Jim read that hymn as we opened our service this morning, and he emphasized the exact thought that had been placed upon my heart. And it was from hymn number 41. In God's most holy presence, we meet with one accord. And it's this oneness that was on my heart this morning. And you wouldn't believe, if you looked in the concordance, how many scriptures have the word one in them. And that answer came in the words of that hymn. And I sat here, and those of you that don't have the opportunity to sit on this rostrum and view the congregation and the goings-on during a service, it's quite a privilege. And you see some things that sometimes that make you smile. And I witnessed, one of our little ones wanting to move up into a row to sit with their friends because they wanted to be one with them. And I also witnessed the mother holding up a finger, giving a little bit of voice of warning to be careful with what you do. Sit quietly. You know the words that a mother would speak. And I feel like our Heavenly Father is the same with us. He wants us, brothers and sisters, together as one. And He'll hold up that finger as a reminder, if you will, or a voice of warning that we ought to be doing the right things. It's in this desire to be one that I put together, and this would have been in your bulletins this morning, this little reading assignment for the year, starting here in September. And I don't want to derail the reading assignment that we've been doing all this year. I'd like for you to continue with that, but maybe as an added supplement, I'd like for us to read the words of Alma over the course of this next year. And it's not very many verses. It's about 50 verses a week, which you should be able to do in about 10 minutes' time. But if you use those as part of your daily devotions and you truly study those words, you'll find the Lord speaking to you in a very miraculous way. Also on top of this card is a couple other things. One is a theme scripture, if you will, for this year, an individual scripture, and a hymn that I felt particularly drawn to, and both speak of the subject of faith. And I'd like to read to you out of the book of Alma, the 16th chapter, beginning at this very verse that is printed on this little reading card, and then I'll read a few verses afterwards. But behold, if ye will awake and arouse your faculties even to an experiment upon my words, and exercise a particle of faith, even if you can no more than desire to believe, let this desire work in you, even until ye believe in a manner that ye can give place for a portion of my words. Now we will compare the word unto a seed, And now if you give place that a seed may be planted in your heart, behold, if it be a true seed or a good seed, if you do not cast it out by your unbelief, that you will resist the Spirit of the Lord, behold, it will begin to swell within your breast. And when you feel those swelling motions, you will begin to say within yourself, it must needs be that this is a good seed, or that the word is good, for it beginneth to enlarge my soul, yea, it beginneth to enlighten my understanding, and it beginneth to be delicious to me. And now behold, would not this increase your faith? I say unto you, yea, nevertheless it hath not grown to a perfect knowledge, but behold, as the seed swelleth and sprouteth and beginneth to grow, then ye must needs say that the seed is good, for behold, it swelleth and sprouteth and begin to grow. And now behold, will not this strengthen your faith? For ye will say, I know that this is a good seed, for behold, it sprouteth and beginneth to grow. And brothers and sisters, that's what we're endeavoring to do this year. Can you imagine the oneness that we will experience if together we read the same words each week out of the word that our Lord has provided to us in this scripture, and it'll be like a seed that is planted and begins to grow. I can't wait to see how it is that the Lord will bless this congregation this coming year as we endeavor to serve Him and to grow together and exercise, if it be just a particle of faith, the things that He can accomplish in and through us. I pray this blessing upon you as this year comes to us, and I pray that we together might draw closer and always remember our Lord Jesus Christ.
Father, we are most grateful unto you for again the opportunity to sit under the blessing of your Spirit, which Spirit brings peace and love over us as the instruments of his creation. We thank thee for the bounties of life, for the coolness of the weather, for the bounty of the harvest, for those things that move us when we are about our daily task in life. And today, for the chords of the music that bring to our mind the words of our Savior and the inspiration that comes with that thought. And yet we stand here as the world hurtles toward the end of all things, that the kingdom of righteousness may be ushered in with her peace and tranquility in life. So we are reminded that the president of our country has asked that this day be set aside as a day of prayer for our nation. And we know that she must endure, even if narrowly, whereby the kingdom of Almighty God may be established and never torn down. As we look now and think about all of these things that fill our thoughts and our activities in life, we are humbled and recognize that all of these are small things compared to the gift of eternal life, which we have because of Jesus Christ our Lord, who is his name that we worship and adore this day, through the remembrance of this covenant which we have made. For this we are unworthy, but yet needful, and thou hast bent to our need. And for this we ask that we may have thy Spirit, that it may strengthen us in all areas of our life, that we may do all things in a way that is pleasing and acceptable unto thee in the days ahead. And this we humbly beseech thee, our Father, in the blessed name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.